Hey guys, welcome to 2020 and welcome to the 11th season of Interviews with the Haunting Masters. I want to run something by you. I've been considering now for a couple of seasons to change the name of Interviews with the Haunting Masters. Not the format, not what we do or how we do it, but just change the name to Days in the Wild to match my old TV show and my guide services, Days in the Wild Outfitters, just so it's all concise, and for one. And number two, I got feedback that, you know, over the years that people think my the title of the show is a little pretentious, like, oh, you know, this guy thinks he's a haunting master. And lastly, because Interviews with the Haunting Masters is quite long and a little hard to market, Days in the Wild is a little bit easier. And again, like it's like I said, it matches everything else. So like to hear what you think. Like to hear from all the fans and all the guys that have been guys and girls that have been listening to the podcast, and you know, what you think, if I should change the name or not. So I'm gonna put up a little survey page on johnstallone.me, and I'd love to hear back from you. So without further ado, we're going to roll into this next episode, and it's brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Thanks. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we are going to talk to Travis Stone, and we're going to catch up with him. He had a pretty awesome season, and he's going to share with us some of his stories and ups and downs. So without further ado, what's going on, man?
How's it going?
It's going good. I was just on another podcast. We were talking about Barbary Sheep. So it's got my brain's going right now. I'm trying to.
That always is. You hear a new species you want to go after and try to get in your schedule. And
yeah,
I have that same dilemma sometimes.
I've actually already haunted them. I got a tag in New Mexico back in 2016, and I shot one. But I've been looking at the over-the-counter stuff for a while, and I was thinking about trying to give it another go on that this year, maybe. But then we started talking about elk and this and that. As soon as December rolls around, I'm always trying to figure out what my next season is going to be like.
The strategy starts already.
Yeah, I still got a lot of hunting left to do. I'm pretty much going into the peak of the rut here in Arizona. I'll be hunting all through February with Javelina. I got a bunch of clients this year. We have like 12 different guys coming in. I'm actually going to Argentina with my wife, my cousin, and my buddy Charles Whitman for Red Stag in March.
Wow, that'd be cool.
I got quite a bit of hunting left, you know, for quote unquote this season, you know, I guess.
Yeah, your off season is pretty much.
Yeah, it's going to be short this year, which is nice, man, because usually March, I'm doing a lot of predator hunting. But I don't have anybody on the books for that, and I don't really plan on doing a whole lot for myself this year because of the Argentina thing. But so April, May, June is usually my off season. But my daughter's already drew a spring turkey tag. So we'll be hunting in May for that. So there's stuff. And then, this year is going to be, there's not going to be as long of a dry spell. So it's going to be.
Oh, there you go. That's always a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So before we listen to some of your stories, let's get a little rundown about yourself.
Yeah, my name's Travis Stone from a little small town in California, Coalinga, kind of on the west side of the Central Valley. Kind of grew up here hunting blacktails since before I can remember, and kind of getting more serious into it and hitting other states and just kind of, you know, immersing myself in it all. Yeah, cramming much as I can every year.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So run us through what I saw. I know that you went to Alaska, right? For Sitka blacktail. or did you
Yeah, that
stay?
was one of my pretty much big trips we've been looking forward to for last 2 or 3 years. My dad just retired this year from the state corrections here in California, and so he's kind of wanting to do we've never been up north before, want to do one kind of big trip. So that was his little we kind of put together, and I helped him, and we kind of decided to do a Kodiak Sitka blacktail hunt,
Nice.
and it was awesome. Everything had cracked up to be. It was cool. We did the boat-based hunt. And so we did 5 days on a boat, and it's cool. We had two deer tags apiece, and we both shot some pretty good bucks. So,
Nice. And that was with the rifle or
yeah.
with the rifle?
Rifle,
Okay.
yeah.
You guys see a bunch of bears or
Yeah.
no?
No, we got lucky. We didn't see no bears. We had one follow us out one night on top of our tracks. Went in and the next morning on the same trail, and he had came out that night behind us. Follow us all the way down to the beach. It's kind of eerie.
Little unnerving.
But yeah, there was that. Yeah, it was a little because especially that the brush, man, up there is just so thick. I
Right.
mean, I say thick, but you don't realize how thick it is until you're actually there. And it was just you're swimming in that stuff for at least an hour and a half just to get up high to get above it. And that was a little eerie coming around every corner.
Yeah.
Little big old bears running around out there. So,
That's what
but
I've
it was
heard.
cool. We worked our butt off and killed two great bucks. So, yeah.
Well, so the floor is yours, man. Share with us your favorite story.
Oh, let's see here. Kodiak trip was probably my dad's buck. I mean, we had pretty bad weather first 2 days, snowed, wind like crazy. Seeing bucks, passed a couple small ones up. A lot of deer. I mean, seeing 20 or 30 head a day, it was just nuts. And we went in Thanksgiving week, so it was kind of that. I think we kind
Right.
of missed the rut a little bit,
Just a little
and
after late October.
yeah, it was, yeah, I think that's what it was more probably peak was.
Okay.
So we kind of hit a little late, so we were seeing a lot of bucks kind of by themselves, or maybe one or two with the doe, small ones. Just weren't seeing that kind of next caliber. And finally, on day 4, we took about 2 hours to get to the top, and we just started picking out deer. It was the first great day we had. Full sun, it was just beautiful, no wind, cold as heck. But the deer were out, just out sunning themselves, and so we were just spotting them right and left, and got into a nice little kind of little bowl. We stepped us through the glassing real quick, and we had a group of like five does and one little buck, and he kind of was hanging out a little high above them. And we knew that, I think if he was, because he was kind of eerie, and he'd kind of walk down a little bit and walk back up and walk down. But I figured there's got to be something else in there. And so I kind of sat my dad down on a little point, and I made a kind of a little bit of a push, went down the bottom, and ended up jumping a really good buck. And he kind of came up, side hill below me, kind of lined out with the other does heading up and out. And I was like, oh, come on, please see him, please see him. I got ready a little bit, and he finally cracked and took a good shot and got him. And that was pretty bad.
Nice.
It was cool. He was looking forward to that, and we both had a little tear in our eyes because we both worked super hard that week. And my dad, he's I want to say 50, 55 now, and so grinding up that hill every day, we worked for it, and it was pretty cool. And if you go on my page and see, it was pretty
The
badass
young
view he had
man.
of the whole island. Yeah, it was neat.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then came on the next day and killed my buck just right above that same bull. So it was actually a little honey hole we had picked out. So it was pretty cool.
Nice.
And that was
Nice.
our Alaska trip. I ended up killing one more small buck on the last day. And then other than that, we had some good fishing, good company. We did a boat-based hunt, so we had two other guys from California on the boat with us, which are now actually good friends. My dad just went down to the duck club a couple weeks ago, and so we'll keep in touch with them. So it's kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it
What
was a very, very cool trip.
if you don't mind me asking, what was who was the outfitter to use and what did it cost you to do that? Because it's definitely on my bucket list. It's something I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back, or when I go back, I'm definitely gonna try to get up there as quick as I can. But I'll probably do little things different. But we used Ninalchik charters for our boat, and it was right about, I think, about 2,500 or so per person.
Okay.
And it wasn't horrible, and they took, the meals were incredible. They did, breakfast, lunch, dinner for us. They would take us in on a skiff every day, drop us off, and it's all, do it yourself. And it was just nice to have a warm place to stay at night and not out there with the bears. But yeah. But
I heard the boat's
no,
the
it
best.
was yeah, it is. It is.
Because
It was
you're
nice. And you can just
not
kind of pick.
stuck in one spot either.
Yeah, you're not confined to one spot. So it was kind of cool. We can kind of look across the bay if we wanted to go there one day, check it out. And that's what we ended up doing when we killed both of our best bucks was, we glassed something up, said, "Hey, let's go try this over here because it looks good," and just got to be able to change it up. And it was a, if we were got flown in or something, it would have been impossible to relocate in that country. So yeah,
You're kind of stuck where you're
so
stuck.
it, exactly. So it was pretty neat. And then the fishing, of course, was just top notch. They're pretty good. I think they're mainly focused on the fishing charters as their primary business. And then they do this in the hunting season, and they got two boats operating now. We were on a 6-man, and they have like a 12-man boat now. They just brought in this year, and yeah, so they're cranking along, and they're a good group of guys, good outfit. I think we hit it a little late as far as catching the rut and catching those bucks moving down and chasing does. It was the kind of tail end of it. So if we did go back, it'd be a little earlier, probably end of October. I think that's when they had their best season so far, and then the days are a little longer too. We had it got light at 9:30 and then dark about 4, so it was pretty short days. You had to get up there and get it done. Yeah,
That's hell if you're
yeah,
and you're hiking an hour and a half and
exactly. Yeah, it was. It was about exactly 1.5 to 2 hours to get above, all that thick brush to where you can start hunting. So it was a grind
crazy.
every day. Get up there, get a buck boned out, back down to the beach,
See, what
and then.
you were doing that in the
Yeah.
dark then? The hike so
We only came out one night at right about dark, but other than that, we were just by the time again we got down with the deer, it would already be an hour left of light, so it wasn't almost worth going back up. We tried, of course, to get up there best we can, but it was more of you kind of have to base your day off that, leave the boat in the morning early, and then get up there about probably about daylight at the good, where you start hunting real good and glassing, and then yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, but it was beautiful country. It was cool. It was amazing. Yeah, and a ton of hunters in the island. It was, we flew into Kodiak probably 2 days, but I think it was 2 days before we actually flew over to the boat. And the whole town was just full of hunters. It was pretty neat. Met some good dudes from California there too, and which again we're friends with now. So it was pretty neat. Neat town. Neat.
Nice. And you had an elk hunt too, or?
Yeah, so my season started off here in California. We get to start hunting
July.
blacktail, yeah, in July, second week of July. And then I'm scouting like a whole month or so before that. A couple buddies, we hit it pretty hard, and then so we grinded it out for the whole A zone deer season. I was able to kill a good buck right before my elk hunt. And then yeah, so my elk hunt, I drew a pretty good tag in New Mexico. It was probably one of the top tags in New Mexico for trophy quality, and is my first archery elk tag too. So I
Really?
had that much, yeah. So it's kind of like I kind of cursed myself. I told myself I'm not gonna hopefully not draw a good tag before I don't go out and try to hunt, do an over counter or something like that, and kind of get some knowledge under my belt. But I got thrown right in the ringer with a good tag, and so I scheduled out with work. It worked out good. My wife let me go for 2 weeks, so I went solo 2 weeks in New Mexico.
Nice.
And it was a pretty big learning curve, that's for sure. It was fun though. Yeah, we I got there, I think the first, it's September 1st. I had the first tag, the 1st to the 14th,
Okay.
and so it was, I kind of had some places picked out in Onyx, and kind of wanted to just go check it out. And I rolled up that afternoon, walked out to a point, and ripped out a bugle and had one answer me right back. So pretty amazing. Yeah, I was
Nice.
like, oh, this is that was, yeah, it was
Oh,
amazing. And
Mexico's a magical place when it comes to elk hunting.
oh, I tell you what, I had, yeah, seen ton of bulls, ton of elk, and then again, it was just because it was a really good tag. Pretty much had the whole area to myself everywhere I went, so that was pretty amazing there too.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it was a grind. I the first 4 or 5 days were just, it was, they were kind of going nuts. It wasn't too into the rut, they were kind of pre-rutting a little bit, but there was a lot of bulls with cows, and had some missed opportunities to say the least on
Yeah.
some really big bulls.
Right.
But that was probably, it was, a lot of stuff I wish I could go back and redo.
I
Kind of
bet.
being aggressive, and I probably shouldn't have been. But it was fun getting in close and calling some big bulls, and just had to get those misses out of the way, I guess.
Yeah.
So the second week was real. I kind of learned a lot about calling on these bulls in this area. They were kind of real call shy, and I don't know why. It wasn't really honey pressure. I don't think that made them that way, but it wasn't really full on rut. It got to like 90 degrees one day, so it was pretty warm. Kind of make things happen early, and then kind of late in the afternoons, and then we had a few storms kind of come through that kind of shut them up for a bit. But it was a fun hunt, and then it came down to the last day. I ended up teaming up with another guy that was there solo, and I had spotted a bull the night before, got some good video of him. Kind of watched him hang out with a couple cows. Not didn't bugle once for a whole 3 or 4 hours. I watched him, so I kind of figured it'd be impossible to get on him the next morning. But so we teamed up together that night, and then I made a plan in the morning to kind of go in there. And it was a good, I think, a mile and a half trek in there to this little canyon where he was at. Kind of glassed up a long ways away, and we got in there about first light and threw some calls out. Didn't hear nothing. Kind of. We were near water, so we figured that they got to be in there somewhere. And luckily, I was able to glass them up again, and they were actually working their way to their beds. And so we kind of made a little, kind of a team, wouldn't say a push, but we kind of got set up in some his escape routes to where he was going to go up above them, and if thermals were right, he was going to try to come down on them. And then I kind of got to about his eye level across the canyon, and I was going to work into him too. If the thermals are right, and they end up being good for him, bad for me. So he ended up coming down on him. I text him, and he started working his way down to him. He got close. He got within like 40 yards or so. Just it was so thick stuff he could never see him. So
Wow.
meanwhile, I'm sitting back with the bird's eye view, watching the whole time, and I'm sitting there shaking, like getting excited for him. And he got close, and then ended up busting him. And then as they were kind of busting couple draws over, I was able to kind of get myself lined out in front of them, and then I kind of got the wind right, and they end up working right to me, and I was able to sneak in real quick and put a good shot of them at 30 yards. So
Wow.
worked out
Nice.
good. Yeah, it was neat to kind of have it all
Well, you know you're
work your butt
spoiled.
off for what's that?
You know you're spoiled now, because if you ever go on another elk hunt anywhere else, that's not a pre that you're gonna
I
realize how
know.
much shittier it is to go hunting in a, a general
In like an
unit.
over-the-counter unit or something like that. Exactly. Yeah, I got
Oh.
spoiled for sure. So it was cool. I killed a nice 6x6, and for my first archery bull, it was pretty amazing. So, and first archery hunt, it was cool. So I learned a lot there. Learned a lot about calling, and then probably just the perseverance, just to kind of keep grinding out by myself. I had missed, two big bulls the whole trip, pretty much in 13 days, and that was hard to keep going by yourself. I'd be texting people on my inReach, and they'd be kind of like talking me through it, and when you have nobody there,
It's
really
tough.
kind of egging you on, it was tough to get up every day and grind it out all day. And so I learned a lot about that, but held on, kept working hard, and it all worked out. So that was pretty cool.
I have a hard time doing things by myself like that. I mean, I say that, but I hunt from home by myself often. But to go somewhere new and be out there, like, I feel like I need somebody there to bounce things off of,
That's what I know. I have two good hunt buddies, and I was just bouncing stuff off them right and left. I had one guy calling me almost every hour, and man, I wish he was there. Like you
It's
said, you kind of need that little bit of push to keep going,
right.
and didn't have that. So
Oh.
and
So,
being from California too, so that was good. I think 14-hour drive for me, so that was a pretty good stretch.
Okay, yeah, that's a rough drive by the by yourself for sure.
I know that too, yeah. So, no, it worked out good.
So tell me about your A-zone buck.
I was able to connect on actually two. We get two tags in California, and so I was able to get two A-zone tags. And like I said, we get to kind of hunt the second week in July in archery. Archery really didn't pan out for me. We hit it pretty hard, and I don't think I even really had any close calls. I don't think I ever drew back or anything. It was a pretty slow year during archery. It was hot. Bad moon phase we had. And then rifle comes around. We get to hunt all the way till about end of September. And so we get that kind of pre-rut kicking off to where the bucks kind of start cruising. And so we I kind of look forward to that. I mean, almost, don't want to punch that tag in archery because you kind of wait till that end, you want to catch those bucks kind of coming out of the backcountry and stuff. And we get to have some pretty cool property where I hunt a private ranch, of course, and it's all surrounded by BLM, and that BLM stuff is real rough country. And so towards the end of the season, those bucks kind of start coming out of that back stuff that's untouched, and that's when we usually do pretty good in this place. And so it was kind of that end of the towards the end of the season, right before my elk hunt. It was actually, well, right before September 1st. We had a couple of cool spells come through, and those bucks kind of started moving. And I just caught this guy out in this wide open oat field, and kind of worked out good. I had my good buddy Gage Jensen with me hunting. He spotted him, and we were able to work into, I think, 400 and 410, I think. And was able to put a good one in him, and that was my first buck. And then the second buck was right about, it was getting hot that week. We had bucks really rutting. We had a whole day up there on the ranch. It did kind of like an all day, it was nice and cool all day. So we spent all day up on the ranch. My uncle killed a good buck that morning, and we knew it was a hot doe in there that he was with. So I kind of told him, I said, hey, let's just focus in the same canyon where this hot doe is. And we did. We sat there all day glassing and saw some small bucks. Actually, a lot of small bucks that day. And it was just because that doe was just, she must have been her scent, going off all the whole, every draw in that canyon. Bucks coming out of the woodworks. And we caught one right about last light. Nice three pointer. And he came out, and I was able to get a good shot at him at 6:30. That was actually my farthest shot to date. And so that was it for me. That was kind of the last deer hunt of the year right there.
Cool.
Was fun, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like you had a pretty good year. I saw
Yeah.
you did some hog hunting and what else? You did bear
Yeah.
hunting?
Yeah. No, just some hogs this year. We get to hunt those year round here in California, so that was fun. It's always fun. And our ranch that we get to hunt on, it's hogs kind of come and go there a little bit. There's some good spots, but this year they've been exploding. And so we've been seeing some good ones, and been able to get on a few here and there and kind of fill the freezer on those. They're always fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, if you could share with me a hunting story, and try to paint the whole picture where you learn something about hunting whatever species it is that you're hunting, and it changed the way you hunt today, for that type of animal.
It'd probably be the elk hunting. We kind of I always grew up we do a Colorado, third season every year deer hunt. Always pick up a bull tag or a cow tag, and really don't go out looking for elk to say. And so the last couple of years I kind of really dove into focusing on some elk, and I drew a Wyoming tag last year, a general tag. And so my dad and I ventured back there for the first time, and just focused on elk. And we actually kind of hit it to where they had the, must have had a second cycle, but we were hunting bulls that were still bugling, and it was kind of like our first experience of actually hunting elk in the rut, and at a rifle, so that made it a little easier. And so we were able to get right to a little a nice draw with a bugle fest going on, and two or three bulls, and picked one out. And that kind of really got me into hunting elk in the rut. So this year, when I drew that, I've kind of put in for a lot of places, but I drew the New Mexico tag, and I think The one, the second bull, the second big bull I missed back there. Kind of my first time actually calling a bull in and doing it right. Had him come in at 237 yards. It was throughout the week of hunting this year back there in New Mexico. I learned a lot about calling, and it was these elk were a little call shy, so you kind of had to, determine if he was going to answer back to a bull, or kind of more focused on cows. And if you did bugle when you were close, he'd gather his cows and leave, wouldn't even worry about you. And so this bull, he was hot, and I was able to kind of deter like be able to listen to this bull's kind of demeanor, and saw that I was kind of on a high point and watching him kind of work his way up this canyon. I had the thermals bad, so I didn't really think it was going to last this long. But he I'd bugle back, and he would just go nuts on a juniper and just, on a PJ, and he just tear it up as he's pushing three cows up. And I think it was because he had only a few cows. He was real aggressive to keep those cows. And throughout the week, I figured, I kind of learned that if they had a lot of cows, or if you saw them with a lot of cows, they wouldn't even so much as worry about you. They just kept their harem, and he would move them, and they go the other way, and the lead cow would always take them the other way, for some reason. But so when I picked this bull out, and he was working his way up this draw, he only had two or three cows with him, and I was able to kind of learn how he was answering my bull call. And every time I'd cow call, he wouldn't even, really would worry about it too much. But if I got aggressive with him, challenge bugle here and there, and I'd be raking a tree, he would just go nuts. And so I learned, I kind of worked my way into him a little bit, and I was able to kind of cheat the wind some. I didn't think it was going to last as long as it did, but yeah, he worked his way right into me at 37 yards, and I just had a missed opportunity. But it was a cool experience to learn kind of calling. I've done all the videos and Elk 101 and all that crap, and I think actually getting out there and experiencing it and real life situations, it would learn a lot about calling. So it was neat. It was a good time. I learned a lot about that, and now I'm just already thinking about this next September, just taking it all off and doing, whatever states I can, just elk hunt, because it's just my trigger now, that's for sure.
I've been talking about doing that forever. I want to, my wife would kill me, but I really want to take off the whole September and hunt the whole September and do a couple different states. And I also want to take off the whole month of November and go hunt the whitetail deer rut. Like,
Oh,
in a
there you
bunch.
go.
Like, I don't know what it is, but I've wanted to do that for so many years. And, you put things off and then, like, now it's even harder, because I have three
Kids
kids.
and family and
Yeah, it's like, man,
yeah.
I kick myself in the ass for not doing it when I was a single man. And
Right.
shit. So I was like, now I was like, I look at it, I'm like, maybe, I mean, I guess maybe if I told my wife, hey, this is the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take this whole month, I could probably do it. But because in the end,
I
it would
try that every year,
be
and
less
she
dates.
calls my bluff every time.
Exactly. She knows I'd be freaking lying. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, really, if
That's
I
my
stick
course.
to
I
it,
just, yeah.
maybe I could probably pull that off. But.
Yeah, you could do right there in Arizona, you got a good kind of season dates for elk, and then you can always throw in a Wyoming general or a Idaho over the counter and just roll.
That's kind of, I mean, I really want to, I want to do Roosevelt elk, and then I want to do like two Rockies in one season, and kind of split up the whole month between those
Oh, there
three.
you go.
Be awesome. Honestly, I had an opportunity a couple years ago, and I end up having a turn, I end up turning the tags back in. I drew a Wyoming tag. So this was 2017. It was just a couple of years ago. Wyoming tag. I drew a Premier tag in Utah, and I already had scheduled an over-the-counter hunt in Oregon, which I didn't end up. So I end up not going to Oregon, and I end up turning my tag back in for Wyoming and just doing the Utah hunt. But I was like, man, that'd be awesome to get three freaking bulls in 1 year, and it and the dates all lined out perfectly. I could have did it. I mean, logistically, I could have did it. And I didn't. I just didn't do it, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
kick myself in the ass for not doing it, but or at
It
least try.
all sounds good during application season, and then
Doesn't it? Right?
yeah, and then when it gets there, it's like, oh man, I don't know if I can swing this. I actually had to turn a Nevada deer tag in this last year.
Oh, really?
That one, that was a hard pill to swallow. Yeah, too. I've been waiting about 5 or 6 years for that, and just time off work, logistically it wouldn't have worked out, so kind of had to.
What unit did you draw?
I believe it was like, it wasn't a very great unit. I think it was a 71, 71 through 73, I believe.
I don't know those units. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like a South Central almost, Nevada.
Okay. I had a
Yeah, it wasn't.
115 tag this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Oh, so you actually went and did a hunt this year there.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Did it work
Actually,
out?
I was on big bucks every day. I passed 2 or 3 bucks that I, two for sure that I could have shot that were right there, like right around 150, 160. I was really hoping to shoot, 170, 180 buck. And I did, but I just didn't shoot them good enough. I wounded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I shot them far back. Actually, I shot two, to be honest with you. I shot two here. I shot one far back and I shot one really low. And the biggest buck was the one that shot low, and that was the first one. And then I shot another. Actually, not, what am I saying, far back? I shot him far forward. I had him in the neck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But,
Well, probably didn't get no vitals by then, by any means then. Yeah.
nope. Oh, it was barely sticking in too, because the way he reacted, he was like turning away from it, and it kind of caught him like caught him on an angle, and
Oh, okay.
he was
Yeah.
standing perfectly broadside, and I think I would have cut jugular, I would have got supposed to get, but yeah,
Well, that's
fuck man,
part of bowing. Yeah, we've
I don't know
all been
this
there.
last 2 years, I've been seriously considering not bow hunting anymore. It's been
I know.
brutal. It's been
Yeah.
brutal for me. I went from,
Yeah, learning curves never stop.
well, it's nuts, man. I mean, for years, I don't even know how many years, but 15 plus years, I filled 85% of my tags, and I was getting 7 to 12 tags a year.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, so. And man, I went 2 years now, 2 years in a row that, yeah, I just, I from shooting like 7, 8 animals a year to killing two, and it's like freaking killing me. It's absolutely killing me.
Get in your head now, yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting, becoming a head case. I'm messing with my bow too much. I'm changing shit up and just, oh, my God, I'm my own worst enemy. excuse me, I'm really fighting myself right now. But yeah, I'm trying to. I said after the season's done, I got to go back to my basics, go back to the way I
Yeah,
used to
basics.
train,
There you go.
and get back into the rhythm of things so that next year I got no excuses. I'm gonna be ready, and yeah, so I don't know, we'll see.
And then that's when you connect next time, makes it all that much sweeter. So
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I
gotta
shot a
look at it
buck.
like that. Yeah.
I shot a buck here in South Dakota, and it was like, he was a good buck. Don't get me wrong, he was a big, pretty big, mature buck, and he's just something to be happy about no matter what. But I was like giddy, like a little kid this morning when I shot that deer, because I was like, yes, I'm not
I can
jinxed.
still do this.
I can still do this. Especially the way it went down too, because it was a pretty cool experience. But
Awesome. Yeah.
so you got
That was
any other?
the.
Oh, sorry.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead. I was gonna
I was
ask
just
you.
asking how your Arizona hunt's going on.
So this is the second time I'm telling this story, so guys gonna hear it twice on the podcast. But so
Oh, yeah.
yesterday, or not yesterday, the day before, I had a morning to go out for myself, and I head out to the spot, and I had to use my quad to get back there. One, because the truck can't get back there, and two, I've been using the quad because I don't have my truck right now. I'm using my mother-in-law's truck, and it's not much of a four-wheeler, four-wheeling type truck. It's got four-wheel drive, but it's basically a grocery picker-upper. Anyway, so I took the quad out, and I'm by myself, dark, and get to this one point, and I'm like, it's not a super steep hill, but it's a little climb, and it's not very long, but it's all rutted out, and I'm going up it, and I can't get traction because of the ruts, because the guys that are keep driving on it with dirt bikes, and they're cutting these ruts deep, they're like two and a half. So I back up and I'm like, well, shit, how the frick am I going to get over there? I said, if I hike from here, it's going to take me forever. And it wasn't out of laziness. I just wanted to get there before light, I'm like, all right, well, if I back up, I think I can go up the right side of these ruts. I'll be okay. Well, I started to do that. I had my backpack and my bow strapped to my back. And I start going up. About halfway going up, and I'm like, you know what? This is probably a bad idea, but I kept doing it anyway. Like, freaking, I roll
Already
the 18.
committed.
I roll the ATV,
Oh.
flips over three times, lands on top of me. I'm pinned underneath my ATV. Not in the middle of nowhere, but I'm out there in the desert by myself. And first thing that goes through my head is like, if I can't get out of this, my freaking inReach is in my backpack. I can't.
That you're laying on,
But I, you know what? And then I'm
Oh,
like, oh, I could probably get to my cell phone, and I had cell phone service. So, but anyway, I'm like, let me figure this out. So I managed to get out. It took me about 5 minutes. I managed to get out on my own. Checked myself. I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm broken anywhere. I don't feel any real pain except for my knee and my elbow and my wrist. Nothing.
All
Nothing.
the normal old man stuff.
Exactly. So, and I'm like. I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm out here. I'm like, if my bow's working, I'm gonna stay out here. So I check my bow, look it over with my headlamp, and it seems okay. And I draw it back halfway, and I'm like, oh, it looks okay. And then I drew it back full draw, let down, drew it back, let down. I'm like, well, it looks like it's operating okay. Now I just gotta check and see if it's still on. I busted three of my arrows, so I only have three arrows out there now, and my quiver's kind of bent and screwed up, and but for the most part, everything looks fine. So I see a cactus, so like a yucca tree, actually yucca plant, and I'm like, well, let me just try to shoot it real quick. So I turn the ATV and I face the headlamps at it, headlights at it, and I shoot it, and it hits. I'm 20, 25, 30 yards from it or whatever, and I hit what I was aiming at, and like, all right, well, it must be okay. I found out later on, and you'll see in the story how that progresses, that the scope was just slightly bent up like this. Like it's got a little bend to it now. So at 20 yards, whatever, probably didn't make a difference. The longer yardages have made a difference anyway.
Yeah,
So
kind of.
I finally make it out to where I want to get to. I hike up the mountain, I start glassing, and I see this doe. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, there's a doe over here. And then I see a small buck, a little 3x1, And I'm like, oh, and he's trying to mount her. And I'm like, there's no way there's a freaking hot doe down there right now, this time of year, and there's not a bigger buck around. And I start glassing around a little bit. I'm like, oh, there's another doe, there's another doe, there's another doe. There's like six does down there. Excuse me. And, sure as shit, I could see that the little buck is acting a little weird. I'm like, oh, there's gonna be a bigger buck here, watch. And he comes out, big buck. I'm like, oh shit, that's the buck I chased last year, and I had him. And last year it was another this guy. I'm gonna change his name to Die Hard, but last year I snuck in on him. I got to 60, what I thought was 60 yards, and my rangefinder stopped working. So I guessed, and I shot wrong, but I guessed him for 70, but I think now in hindsight he was at 60. Anyway, so that was last year. This year, fast forward, find him again. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm by myself. I'm gonna drop in and I'm gonna call this deer into me. Because they're all on their feet and they're kind of moving. I could see the vector. I could see the direction they're moving. They're gonna be moving through this corridor, and I'm like, I'm gonna try to get down there. I'm gonna, call them in. And I looking through my pack, I can't find my freaking call. And I'm like, son of a bitch, man. All right, well, I guess I'm just gonna have to still hunt them, Drop down there, get about halfway there, put my sneaky feet on, and I start moving slow through the, going hill to hill, and I just it's like rollers, and I'm no, I'm right about. I marked a saguaro where they were. I had last seen them when I bailed off, or where I thought the line they were going to go to. So I get over to that where that saguaro's at, and I'm like, I peek around this tree, and I'm like, he's freaking standing right there. And I'm like, oh fuck, he's right there. So I range him up. He's at 87 yards. I'm like, oh shit, he's okay. I'm like, I got to get around this. I got to get at least to 80 yards, So I get to 80 yards, and now he's facing right at me, but he's not looking at me. He's looking in my direction because there's a doe. And I'm like, all right, cool. I draw back, and I get settled, and I look up at my sight. So I use the, well, here's one of my sights. I use that Bow IQ sight, and it's got that retina lock deal.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you
So.
can see the glare off it and
Yeah, anyway, so I can't see my retina lock, and I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't know this when I shot in the dark because you can't see it in the dark. Anyway,
yeah.
but I can't see it. I'm thinking to myself, oh shit, there's something wrong with the sight, But I'm like, well, and I didn't let down. I'm like, well, you know what? It shot good at 20 to 30 yards or 25, 30 yards. I'm just going to shoot. Stupid, dumbass move. You don't think straight sometimes. So
Yeah, exactly. You kind of go in there.
I shot, and this actually happened to me in Nevada, is why the buck reacted to my shot there. These little it's the one thing I hate about this sight. It's got locking things, so it won't move, but the adjustment screws, if they're not tightened really tight, they loosen up and they'll rattle when you shoot. And it sounds like
Oh
freaking gun going off, It's like bang.
yeah.
That's what happened. I shot and he reacted and he spun. He spun, and by the time the arrow hit him, he was broadside, but it hit high. It basically cut him across the tops of his shoulders. Took some
In
meat.
that kind of no kill zone, yeah.
Oh no, not even. I mean, I'm talking like flesh
Oh,
wounds.
hi. Okay.
High, like super high. Like almost skipped off his back.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, well, I'll tell you the rest of the story. So I go over there, I grab my arrow. I mean, I heard it hit, but I couldn't see it hit. So I didn't know if I hit him. I don't know how I hit him at this point. But I saw the flight of the arrow, and I'm just, some of this I'm putting together after the fact. So I get over there and I see my arrow, and there's some fat on it and a little bit of meat and just a little smear of blood on the fletch. I'm like, son of a bitch, this is not a good shot. Wherever I hit him, this is not a good shot. So it had just rained for like 3 days straight, and just was the first day that we had break. So I found the track. I found this running track, and I stayed on his running track. Eventually, I found a little speck of blood. Then, like 50 more yards, found a little another speck of blood, and I found maybe four or five little specks of blood. But I followed him for a mile. Finally, I
Oh
said,
man.
"I'm gonna go back up to the hill and go glass." And I did. I glassed him. I found him. He was way the hell away, but he was back with the does, and he was still rutting them around. Fine. I
Oh,
couldn't even
healthy.
see it. I
Yeah.
couldn't even see the wound on him. I couldn't even see the wound on him. I didn't see no blood dripping on him, nothing. So I'm like, he's freaking perfectly fine.
Must be
But
skin
it
from
was
hair,
stupid. It
yeah.
was a stupid mistake. I should have never shot. I should have just went home after I freaking rolled the damn quad and called it a day.
A tough one, yeah.
Between the being a long shot, me not being perfectly right, Vo not being perfectly right, and then the reaction. I don't even know if he didn't react. I don't even know if I would have. I guess I would have, because he was facing straight out of me. I probably would have hit him in the throat patch if he was standing still.
Yeah.
I would have hit hot, which is, I mean, he would have been dead.
Still a lethal shot, yeah. Not perfect, but it
That's,
would have
he would
worked.
have been dead. He would have been what I was aiming at.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, oh man, just I noticed
Yeah, I know
that
that
I'm
Arizona.
making more desperate moves like that because of what we were just talking about the last 2 years not being, and
Yeah.
it's making it worse. It's compounding. Instead of making smart decisions, I'm doing stupid shit like when I first started hunting freaking 30 some odd years ago, it's like, ugh.
And it's hard when you're in that kill zone, though. You kind of almost black out in a way. Like you just kind of
Well,
look back on things and.
I got it ingrained in my head that, sometimes like I get this John Stallone's the greatest archer in the whole world complex, and I just fucking fling arrows and that shit would be. But
What's that term? If there's carbon in the air, there's hope.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Things
that's
aren't
funny.
dying if carbon's not flying.
Yeah, that's
But yeah.
yeah.
Hey.
Now that Arizona, that's a fun hunt. I've been down there a couple times to do that over the counter stuff in December and January, and it's
Yeah.
always fun. Yeah.
Awesome. You got anything else planned for this for the rest of the year or?
Actually, head to Arizona here. I think probably mid-January. I think we're gonna try to make a rendezvous trip down there.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess I got a son due to be born in 5 days now, so
Oh wow.
that's pending if the wife will let me go.
Oh
We'll see
yeah.
how we see, hey, see how we settle into that. I got a 2-year-old daughter as well, and so this, yeah, sounds good now, but we'll see what happens.
Nice. Nice.
Pretty fortunate. She supports my hunting and my being gone all the time, and
Yeah.
they're bad habits.
And the more kids you have, the worse that's gonna get, man.
I know. Yep. Well, we got a daughter and a boy now, so I think we're
You're
good. I'm pretty set. So,
done. Snip,
yeah, I think we're done.
snip.
Yep. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah.
Oh man. Well, awesome. Tell us where our listeners can find out a little bit more about you and check you out.
Yeah, I'm just on Instagram. I'm at Travis underscore Stone underscore, and then on Facebook, Travis Stone. But yeah, I'm always out, looking for hogs in the wintertime and just trying to explore some new country, and got a whole good plans next year. I don't know if I'll draw those plans, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, it's always fun.
Awesome. Well,
So,
thanks for coming
yep.
on and sharing your stories with us. I appreciate it. And
Yeah.
maybe next
Well,
time I
thanks for
come
having
out,
me. Yeah.
well, our paths will cross. I'm there every year, almost every year. This year was the first year I didn't go for A Zone opener. So,
Yeah, I see you make your way out here once in a while. Yeah, it's always fun.
yeah. I still haven't killed one though. That's my white
Hey, I know
whale. I don't know what it is, but I tell you,
every.
white whale. I've had so many close
Yeah.
calls and so many experiences that I was like it should have happened a long time. But anyway,
Yeah.
that's a story for another day.
It's yeah, they're a grind for sure. It's not easy as people think, especially with the bow out here. It's
Yeah,
tough.
that's for sure.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Take it easy. It was good talking to you.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. Yep.
Bye.